Outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana, it's 42 degrees.
Support for WILL comes from Subaru of Champaign County, featuring the standard all-wheel drive Subaru Outback with an EPA highway rating of 29 mpg, depending on conditions. More information is available at their showroom on Route 45 in Savoy or at SubaruofChampaign.com.
At 12:40, this is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL. The Illinois General Assembly returns tomorrow for the fall veto session. As Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reports, lawmakers may consider a measure to allow undocumented immigrants to obtain driver's licenses.
34-year-old Juan lives in the Champaign-Urbana area with his wife and four children. To protect his identity, he's asked to only use his first name. Juan illegally came to the United States 13 years ago from Mexico. He owns his own car, but substantially limits his trips, going to work, driving his kids to school, picking up groceries, and making doctor's appointments. Really, for him, it's from point A to B to C to D. Since he doesn't have a Social Security number, he can't get a driver's license, which means he's breaking the law every time he gets behind the wheel.
I am always afraid. That is a constant thing that I feel. I know just because I don't have a driver's license, that is enough of a reason to get me arrested. So when I see a police car next to me, I always get really nervous.
In fact, Juan has been pulled over six times for minor traffic offenses and arrested each time for not having a license. He says he's had to pay a few thousand dollars to cover fines, post bond, and most recently, get his car out of impound.
Every time I go to jail, I know I'm going to lose the money I earned that week, plus some more.
Why is it worth it? Well, why not just take the bus?
It's very important to me because I'm the man of the house, and everybody here in this house depends on me.
There's a chance Juan's undocumented status may not hold him back on the roads much longer. An effort is underway to amend the Illinois Vehicle Code to allow undocumented immigrants to get a temporary driver's license good for 3 years. This license is already available to immigrants living in Illinois on a visa. In order to get it, undocumented immigrants would have to show a valid passport, proof of in-state residency, and a signed and notarized declaration that all the documents provided are accurate. The Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights is one of the groups behind the effort. It estimates 250,000 people in Illinois would be impacted. The coalition's Lawrence Benito says this policy would keep families together.
Since 2009, there have been over 56,000 children that have lost one or both parents due to deportation. And oftentimes they come in contact with this deportation dragnet because of a routine traffic stop in which they can't show a driver's license.
There is a chance this measure could impact the number of people facing deportation. More than two dozen counties in Illinois have opted into a federal immigration program called Secure Communities. Under the program, sheriff's departments contact federal officials about an undocumented immigrant who's arrested and then agree to hold that person in the local jail for up to 2 days until immigration officials pick them up. Champaign County initially enrolled in the program, but earlier this year stopped honoring immigration holds that don't come with federal court orders and warrants. Champaign immigration attorney Jack Wilkie says up until that point, more of his clients were facing deportation because they were jailed for driving without a license.
The traffic stop frequently was the entree of the undocumented person down the slippery slope into the immigration system.
Wilkie says each time a person is stopped for not having a driver's license, the penalties get more severe. He says allowing undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses could cut down on congested jail cells and time spent carrying out traffic arrests. Champaign County Sheriff Dan Walsh says there wouldn't be a major impact on his department. He says his officers typically don't arrest someone pulled over for minor traffic offenses just for not having a license. He believes allowing undocumented immigrants to obtain driver's licenses will make it easier for his officers to identify people.
I think most of us in law enforcement believe that anybody who drives should be valid under the state of Illinois and should have insurance and also follow all the traffic laws. So if this encourages that, then that's a positive event.
The Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights estimates roughly 80,000 accidents each year involve unlicensed, uninsured immigrant drivers, costing $660 million in damage claims that raise rates for other policyholders. Republican State Representative Dan Brady of Bloomington threw his support behind a similar failed effort to allow undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses. Brady says his wife and children were in a car accident several years ago involving someone who was visiting from Mexico and was uninsured.
Much like my situation, all we saw was the fact that our rates may go up, and all we were doing was following the rules of the road in Illinois and had an accident of individuals who did not have a valid Illinois license, and it cost us in the end.
Now, I was surprised to learn that the three undocumented immigrants I interviewed for this story who own cars also have auto insurance. They say they were able to get it by showing the titles of their vehicles and their international driver's licenses. In Illinois, it's not against the law to sell auto insurance to someone without a U.S. driver's license.
I'm not saying there may be, you know, some out there, but I'm not familiar with them.
That's the Illinois Insurance Association's Janet Patrick. She says it's standard practice for insurance agencies to require a U.S. driver's license before selling auto insurance.
If it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. So I would recommend a person, you know, evaluates the licensing status, the complaint record, and the financial stability of the company in order to make sure that it was a reputable carrier.
Illinois Senate President John Cullerton and Governor Pat Quinn, both Democrats, say they want to give driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants and hope a bill to do so passes during the veto session. But it's unclear if there's enough support in the General Assembly to do that. Republican State Representative Adam Brown of Decatur says he has concerns.
You know, I think if folks are undocumented at this point, we need to look at a solution to get them on the books, get them paying into the system before they're drawing in any benefits, even so far as a driver's license.
But immigration attorney Jack Wilkie says the driver's license measure would only be good for driving. Nothing more, nothing less.
These temporary visitors' driver's licenses could not be used to get into federal buildings, for example, could not be used to get on airplanes. They wouldn't be good for those purposes. They would confer no immigration benefits.
Recently, Illinois' Secretary of State announced immigrants who get temporary amnesty under the federal deferred action policy could apply for driver's licenses since they would have a Social Security number. The Secretary of State's office hasn't taken a position on extending benefits to undocumented immigrants, but it says it will respect whatever decision the legislature makes. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
And Illinois Senate President John Cullerton says he plans to introduce legislation within the next month to allow undocumented immigrants to obtain driver's licenses. Black Friday and Small Business Saturday are behind us, and the holiday shopping season is continuing today with Cyber Monday, giving online retailers the center stage. Last year saw a record amount of online holiday shopping. And now a new study reveals that internet merchants could keep those sales going year-round by doing one surprisingly simple thing. Sandy Hausman of NPR member station WVTF in Roanoke, Virginia, explains.
Most companies pay for return shipping only if they made a mistake or if a product's defective. But if the customer doesn't like the purchase, he or she foots the bill. Sellers figure that's fair, but consumers like Elizabeth Mellon, who returns lots of stuff, beg to differ.
Just because I don't like it, it doesn't fit, it didn't look like it did in the picture, I think that might be a big part of why they should give you free returns.
Amanda Bauer teaches business at Washington and Lee University. She did the math and decided to stop buying from companies that didn't cover return shipping.
Paying to ship $7. Paying $7 to have to ship it back, and now I've paid $14 and I've got absolutely nothing to show for it.
Bauer's return policies were ultimately bad for business, so she and a co-author tracked 4 years of purchases at two major online companies and surveyed they discovered could change the rules of online sales. Buyers who returned merchandise at no charge were far more likely to come back.
Those consumers increased their purchases from about 50% to about 350%. So you were seeing thousands of dollars, all because the company had sprung for a $15 return.
But when customers had to pay for a return, sales fell sharply. Bauer says companies should see free return shipping as an investment that builds trust with customers and pays off with increased long-term sales. For NPR News, I'm Sandy Hausman.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Owens Funeral Home, located at the corner of Elm and University in the historic Trevett Mansion, across from Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Owens Funeral Home, owned and operated by the Owens family since 1925, invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 26th of November, 2012. It's the birthday of the novelist Marilyn Robinson, born Sand Point, Idaho, 1943. Her first novel, 1980, Housekeeping, story of two sisters in a town called Fingerbone, Idaho. Their mother commits suicide. Their aunt moves back to town to take care of them. Marilyn Robinson went off to teach at the University of Kent in England. She learned about a nuclear facility dumping toxic waste into the Irish Sea, which resulted in unusually high rates of cancer among local children. She wrote a book about it called Mother Country. Came back to this country, University of Iowa, wrote her second novel, Gilead, in 2004. An epistolary novel, series of letters from a dying 76-year-old Congregationalist pastor in the town of Gilead, Iowa, in which Marilyn Robinson wrote, "Sometimes I have loved the peacefulness of an ordinary Sunday. It is like standing in a newly planted garden after a warm rain. All it needs from you is that you take care not to trample on it." It's the birthday of science writer Jonathan Weiner, New York City, 1953, author of The Beak of the Finch, a story of evolution in our time, and his most recent book about attempts to achieve immortality, a book entitled Long for This World. And it's the birthday of the cartoonist Charles Schulz, born Minneapolis, 1922. His father was a barber, supported the family on 35-cent haircuts. Every Sunday, the boy and his father read the funny pages together. The boy hoped to become a cartoonist, but he had a rough time in school, felt picked on by teachers, other students. His cartoons were not even accepted by the high school yearbook. He was drafted into the Army. His mother died of cancer a couple of days before he left home. When he came back, he moved in with his father in the apartment above the barbershop and started drawing a cartoon strip for the local paper called Little Folks. He fell in love with a red-haired woman. They dated for a while. He asked her to marry him. She turned him down and soon after married someone else. Schulz was bitter about it for the rest of his life. But in 1950, the first Peanuts cartoon strip appeared in national papers, introducing Charlie Brown, and then